Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Conversations That Matter. We have a very special guest for you today. He has been ahead of the curve on a lot of these issues, a brilliant Swede. His name is Dr. Jacob Nordengard, and he has a PhD in science and technology studies. He's a master of social science and geography and in culture and media. He has written a whole bunch of really, really important books. I actually have one of them. It's called Rockefeller, Controlling the Game. Extraordinary book. He's got a new one, a relatively new one called The Global Coup d'Etat, talking about some of the sustainable development goals and other things. And then actually the foreword to that is written by Catherine Austin Fitz. And then he's got a new one that hopefully is going to be published soon in English. And maybe it is in English already. And that is The Digital World Brain. Jacob, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being with us. And I want to start with this digital world brain idea. We've heard the World Economic Forum, we've heard Klaus Schwab, we've heard going all the way back to Alice Bailey talking about the coming one world brain, talking about this concept. But now the technological trends are converging to kind of at least make this theoretically possible. What do you mean by digital world brain, and what do we have to look forward to?
The digital world brain, I mean, it's the total digitization of everything. Everything becomes data. And the concept of the world brain, it comes from H.G. Wells. He wrote a book back in the 30s called The World Brain. And when I was dug into, I mentioned this in the Rockefeller book as well, with these ideas about creating a world brain in order to manage all affairs on the globe, because that's really what's it all about. The new technology that we have makes it possible to collect data from everyone. And H.G. Wells, he mentioned this is in a very old book from, I think it's from 1899 or something like that. But he had, it's called The Modern Utopia, the book. And a society where everything is collected about every person. And so it was a vision he had. And then we go back, we go forward to Zbigniew Brzeziński in 1970, in his book Between Two Ages. He also wrote about the possibilities and the future when it would be possible to have information about everyone instantly, anywhere, and about everybody's whereabouts. And now we are in a process of making this a reality. And this comes with United Nations new Our Common Agenda. Because when I studied this, it was very obvious that the end outcome of this was the creation of this digital world brain. And also, if we take Our Common Agenda, it was initiated in 2020, just after Klaus Schwab and Antonio Guterres and the now King Charles III declared the Great Reset. And this was United Nations' answer to this Great Reset. It wasn't, talked about at that time. I found out about this agenda in, I think it was some months after September 2021 when it was released, because they decided in 2020, we have to do something because of the pandemic. The member states, they said to the General Secretary Guterres, we need this report, we need this restructuring of the United Nations to make it more fit for the future challenges and future risks.
Fascinating. I want to dig into this Our Common Agenda. I've done some reporting on this. You know, they've got different components, different policy briefs that the Secretary General is putting out. One of them that I thought was pretty alarming is that we need these new global emergency protocols where basically the UN becomes all powerful over everything in the event that the Secretary General determines unilaterally that there's some sort of global emergency that doesn't have to be global and doesn't have to be an emergency. Fascinating stuff. But Jacob, I want to drill down a little bit deeper onto this global brain here. Do you think that with all this data that they're now starting to collect with the smart cities and with the surveillance of everything we're doing online, the surveillance capitalism, if you will, from Google and Facebook and all the apps, you know, what does that look like? I mean, I know the book you mentioned by Zbigniew Brzezinski, Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Age, he suggests that we're really going to have to totally reimagine government, totally reimagine the economy. And my friend Pat Wood has referred to this movement as really a movement for technocracy, where decisions are made by experts and scientists and really, I guess, computer programs and AI now under the guise of efficiency. What does a world governed by a world brain look like? Who programs this world brain? And how do our lives look different if we submit to this?
I mean, you don't have any the choices as we have today. I mean, it's a totally governed system, and that's the idea about this. It's about idea about creating a better society and a better human, and so, I mean, they decide. It's like we will have a scientific priesthood that decides upon the boundaries of the earth and how. What is sustainable and how much are you sustainable and how can we achieve this balanced world? I mean, I remember Al Gore, he had a book called Earth in Balance, and that's kind of what it is. And these top elite guys that themselves live lives that they fly all over the globe to tell other people how unsustainable they are. They will decide. They see themselves as the trustees for future generations. And even I know the World Economic Forum, they have this Davos Manifesto. And it was published first in 1973. And they talk about this. We are the trustees for the material universe for future generations. So they had decided it's better we run the world. And we, the peoples, we have to adjust to this.
What do you think motivates them, Jacob? Are they just really concerned about the environment? They're really concerned about the carrying capacity of the planet? Or do you think it's something more wicked?
Well, I think it's wicked. I guess some of them thinks we have to do this. We will do it better. It will be a better governed society for everyone in the end. We just have to go through this transition. And or more or less, it's like the idea they had in the Soviet Union to create the workers' paradise. We just have to crack some eggs before we get there. So I see some of these people believe in utopia, but for a lot of them, I guess it's power as well. I mean, it's they now have the means, they have the technology, they have everything to achieve this perfect society that they can govern. So I think that is what motivates them, and to be the ones that are the trustees. And actually, I mean, to have this system of control with an emergency platform and actually say that now we have an emergency, just push the button and all the actors all over the world just have to obey and follow the protocols. So, I mean, that is an old dream for a dictator.
Yeah. And that's exactly what the document says. I've read through that document, Jacob, and it does say that the UN and the multilateral agencies are going to be the decision-making authority, and that the private sector and the governments of the world will have to basically take their instructions from this system. Folks, stay with us. We're going to go to break real quick. When we get back, we're going to talk to Jacob a little bit more about the next steps in this process, how we might be able to resist it, and where you can learn more.
The John Birch Society has been working tirelessly since 1958 to preserve freedom, safeguard the Constitution, and restore our God-given rights. We continually educate voters and lead the freedom movement. Join us as we work against a tyrannical one-world government. United as one, we can defeat this conspiracy against a free America. JBS founder Robert Welch said, "Education is our total strategy and truth our only weapon." Join us in restoring this great nation.
Jacob, before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about this world brain and where this is all going. What are the next steps? What comes next? We've got, of course, this SDG summit coming up in New York in September. Then we have, obviously, the Summit of the Future in 2024. What's the process of getting us from where we are today to maybe this world brain global system that they want to build? And what does that look like? How long do we have?
The thing is, we have this Summit of the Future in September next year. So, and in this September this year, they have this SDG Summit, and then they will discuss, they have had all these policy briefs published about our common agenda. It started in March, and I think we'll publish the last ones, last two ones in the coming weeks. Then they will start to work with the outcome document that they will have ready for Summit of the Future in September 2024. And they will then sign something called the Leaders Pact for the Future. And that is critical, because when we have that, and if they will bring in this emergency platform. So I said it's very, very important that we act within, I mean, it's 1 year that we have, that we really can act and protest and make people aware of it. Because what I find as a big problem is that I found out about this, our common agenda, in early 2022, I think. Because no one had mentioned it. It wasn't in media, and nobody talks about it. So, and at the same time, United Nations, they have said they want people to be involved. I mean, they are so inclusive. Every voice will be respected in United Nations. Of course, if you have the wrong ideas, you won't. But I think it's very important just to inform people that this agenda exists and what it's all about, and that people start to act against it and talk. And I mean, of course, I guess some people will love this idea, but for for those who think that freedom and democracy is important to protect, I mean, it's very important that we do something now.
So what are some of the things that we can do, Jacob? I think they're trying to give this kind of a feeling of invincibility. There's no way to stop it. It's coming. You can maybe contribute your opinion, and maybe we will or won't listen. But how can Swedes, how can Americans, how can people around the world stand up to this, if you think it's even possible at this point?
Yeah, the thing is, of course, it's very, very, very hard to, I mean, to be involved in the United Nations process with the outcome document. So I think we have to protest in other ways. And I mean, just to make people understand what this is about. Because if they don't, we just go into this and people will not know. And also that we have to, I mean, people have an experience now of what happened during the pandemic. I mean, and this this outcome document, I mean, it will be worse, because before we had more recommendations, and now they want to make this mandatory when this happened. So, but I am more I'm optimistic in a way, because when I started out, like I mean, it's a long, long time ago. I wrote about European power politics, and when I wrote my doctoral thesis, and I found out about a lot of these plans that they already had at that time. I mean, it's like 15 years ago. And at that time, I was kind of alone in Sweden. But now it's a lot of people that are starting to react. And we are forging new networks. And I get invited all the time nowadays. So I think it's something that is really happening all over the world. And it's like I write about it in my book, The Digital World Brain, in the end. But these people that they want to try to create the perfect system, but you can't do that. You can't build a system built on lying, because that's what they have been doing. They are lying about why we need this system from the beginning, and all these big global crises that they are threatening us with all the time. But I think we have a kind of in time of real crisis, and this is a crisis for humanity as a human race, and we have this I mean, the transhumanistic agenda and these things. And in that time, I have a theory about it's like we something are awakened within us, we need the human race, when we are threatened, and that makes us find the people we need to actually do something about it. And I found proof for this the latest years. So
are there people in Sweden who are waking up? You know, the viewers know that I lived many years in Sweden, and you know, the one thing I remember is people are very conformist, probably more than any other place I've been in the world. Very few people willing to rock the boat. There are some, but they're, you know, very often ostracized from polite company. But you say people even in Sweden are starting to come around on this, huh?
Yes, and that's why I think it will. I mean, this totalitarian future, it can't work in the long run. I mean, and in Sweden now, there are protests, there are people who are really waking up. And when it's happening in Sweden, it's like the Ents in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, when they wake up and we have to do something now. It's like the Swedes.
Excellent.
I think we are at that moment.
Well, that's encouraging, Jacob. And yeah, I think we're seeing similar things in the United States. A lot of people are who, you know, even last year or a few years ago were just kind of watching their sports and going to work and, you know, doing their thing. Now they're at least starting to pay attention, starting to ask questions. So that's encouraging. Jacob, we're almost out of time. You have many wonderful books. I started, you know, the Rockefeller book that I have in my office, a great, great book. You've got the new one coming out. Yeah, that's a fantastic book. I want to invite you back one day to talk about the Rockefellers. That's a whole nother interview subject in and of itself. Of course, they're critical components of this, but how can people follow your work? You have a Substack, you have a website. Tell people how they can follow you and get copies of your books.
Yes, I have, it's easy to find my webpage. It's jacobnordengard.se. And then you can find, I have an English page there. And then you can find my Substack, and you can find my YouTube channel, and you can find my blog, and also my web shop for purchasing the Rockefeller book, because that's the one I have in English now. But I will the global coup d'etat and the Rockefeller controlling the game will be published in the United States now by Skyhorse later this year.
Excellent. We love Skyhorse here. In fact, we've had Tony Lyons on this program. We've had Robert F. Kennedy and a lot of the great authors that they publish. So it sounds like you're going to be in good company. Jacob, thank you very much for the work that you're doing. Thank you for joining us on the program today. I look forward to getting you back to talk about the Rockefellers and other issues. But thanks again, folks. The website is jacobnordengard.se. Check it out. He is really at the forefront of exposing this stuff that, you know, a lot of people don't even realize is going on. Thanks for watching. I am Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter. Until next time, God bless you all.
Here's the news, Dad.
Is it, son? Is it?
What about this one, Dad?
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days. There's just too much baloney out there. At the New American, they cut through the baloney and give me the truth.
The truth is hard to find, but the New American has it. Check it out at thenewamerican.com.